confused as they are, they even miss their own dates. Chair, there is a letter which is referred to. I think Mr. Sissoko referred to it. The one which is dated the 22nd of February of March 2016. It is attached to the presentation. Date is in front there. Following IPIT's appearance before the committee, they went on and published this letter and say General Pashani knew about the investigation. Now, I'm going to read this letter verbatim. It is directed to the acting national commissioner who happens to be me, dear General Pashani. Kindly be informed that we have received a complaint from Mr. Paul O'Sullivan regarding allegations of tender irregularities and irregular appointments. Nowhere is this letter saying to you, kindly be informed that we have received a complaint against you from Paul O'Sullivan regarding allegations of tender irregularities and irregular appointments. The second line says, IPIT in Gauteng has been tasked to conduct investigations regarding the above cases. And then the third line says, you are requested to arrange a suitable date for IPIT investigators to meet with you to discuss this allegation. That's what the letter is saying. And correctly so, Chair, on the 9th of May, I said to my PA, Hang Yen, yes, schedule accordingly. To date, that meeting did not take place, Chair. To date, this meeting referred to here did not take place. And I can challenge IPIT to bring me proof of the minutes that they continue, even in the public domain, to say Pashani was officially informed. Brigadier Homo sitting there behind me happened to be an IPIT member. He started with us the 1st of May this year. He was the acting head of investigations. Him and Mr. Morema, who is in Gauteng, were tasked with this particular investigation. He will tell you that to date, that meeting did not take place. Mr. Khamanyani will say the same. I don't even know how Mr. Morema looks like. But this meeting is supposed to have taken place where Pashani is informed about the investigation against him. And we are going to talk about this in Parliament and in the public space. And a question was put to me, I remember, by Honorable Mbele. Did you lie to Parliament? And I'm reiterating myself, Honorable Chair, under no circumstances will I come here before Parliament to come and die. If there is an element of integrity in IPIT, they must withdraw that to say that Pashani was informed. And the fact that they here in Parliament have said that I've lied, that I was informed. I'm on record, Honorable Chair, to say that the first time that I knew about these allegations was when a Mr. Ngabinde called me and said he wants to see me, which I said is fine, we can make arrangements through my office and so on. Before that meeting, on the morning, exactly the following morning, when I finished my gym session, there was a call and a text message. It comes from a gentleman, Peter Louis Maybach, from News 24. And he said to me, what is your comment about the warning statement that you are supposed to be giving this afternoon? That's the first time, Chair, that I knew that there is something that is happening, because then Ngabinde person, when pushed to say, what is this? He talks about the defeating the ends of justice. No, I don't know very little. I know more about criminal law and criminal procedure. I understood that I must have done something wrong. Someone must have tampered with a case. And he was reluctant to provide the details until I said, if you want me to prioritize your meeting with me, tell me what investigation. Only then he said, corruption. Now, immediately I remembered the set of emails that I've been receiving from Mr. Paulo Solomon. So, Chair, I'm also on record as having said that I will comply with a competent authority tasked to do investigations. And we have issued statements in that regard, and to me it doesn't matter whether it is me or it is the most junior member in this service. We are to comply. But surely, I've tried my best to comply with an illegal investigation which is being conducted against me. I have at no stage interfered with any such. I will show Chair that honorable members, Mr. McBride, continue to say, Paulo Solomon came to me and complained about this at a time. It can't be true. He has been in and out with Mr. Paulo Solomon, who will demonstrate it here during the presentation. Shocking to me, I'm told that we have got a relationship with service providers. Of course I do. I am to be engaging all stakeholders. I am to be talking to people who render services to the environment. It will be unlawful if any of the service providers were to do anything as a favor to me. I don't need that. I'm employed for the past 32 years. I've got a wife who's employed. Between the two of us, we generate 2.5 million per year. I don't need that. Mr. McBride, I happen to have seen part of what Solomon has been directing at me. By the way, where is an investigation against all those that Mr. Solomon has said they are corrupt because they did not dismiss or suspend Munu? That's the basis of the attack against me, and it will be shown in this presentation, Chair. Mr. McBride happened to have disposed a song statement to decorate Mr. O'Sullivan. It says, this statement relates to various criminal cases opened by a certain Mr. Paulo Solomon at either the ICD or its successor, the IP. This part that I'm going to read shocks me. Commissioner Selebi, JS. There can be no doubt that Selebi's conviction and 15 years prison sentence was the end result of many years of hard work and the doggedness and determination of O'Sullivan. His role was pivotal. And he goes on. In talking to General Munu. By the way, he filed this in a case of corruption and extortion where O'Sullivan is a suspect. And then, when they realize that they are in trouble, they withdraw cases against each other, including against Munu. And he goes, in and during 2014 and 2015, O'Sullivan laid serious criminal complaints with IPIC against Lieutenant General Dinesh Munu, who at that time was the Divisional Commissioner Detective Services. The complaints of O'Sullivan related to various alleged corrupt activities of Munu and in respect of certain questionable characters who appear to have strong connections with the underworld. One of the few remaining items that delayed our investigation was the steadfast refusal of Munu to hand over certain dockets which had become seized by his office. Despite the repeated requests from the IP, Munu refused to cooperate with our investigations. Munu effectively silenced the investigations. I raised the issue of Munu's stifling with both General Kriecha and General Sithole. I seem to think we may have had to resort to issuing Section 205 subpoenas to compel handing over of the dockets in question, but I do not recall what the outcome was. This statement is deposited by Mr. Robert McBride while he is suspended in support of Paul O'Sullivan. Where is the independence of IP? I am being told that no, we happen to have done the following because O'Sullivan came to complain. It is not so, Chair. What we have will prove it. Honorable Chair, if in a sentence there is mention of General Pierre who did not do something and General Sithole who did not do something, and I am becoming the target, what happened to them? What made them not to be treated the same that I am being treated? So, the independence of IP is out of the window. Honorable Chair, Mr. Robert McBride is in possession of a crime intelligence report, the threat assessment that was conducted in my case. He handed that report to Sergeant Trent. Where is he getting that report from? Where is he getting that report from? Why must it be with private people? One of the reasons why there was this investigation, Chair, was because his investigators allowed access to Mr. O'Sullivan to have copies of the building plans of my house. They have allowed him access to my accounts. They are analysts. In her own replying affidavit to our application, say, when I could not do the following with the banking statements of General Patlani, I went to Paul O'Sullivan for them to assist. Where is the independence of IP? By the way, Bosa is a private person. She went for Fidelity Guard. But she has got access to my information. And she goes and provides Paul O'Sullivan and Sarah Trent Jane with my personal information. And Chair, I'm supposed to be quiet and say, IP is independent. That part I don't understand. Honorable Chair, I'll allow General Mawula to talk. We are not going to do the entire presentation. There were many things that were alleged by IP when they appeared before the committee, including in the media. And we will speak to those. Amongst others, somewhere they must come back and be able to prove to you, or at least let's go to court, where they must go and prove to me this 8 million rand house check.
Well, I see you, and I know you want to respond, but let's get the presentation. We will then give you ample opportunity. Yes.
Chairperson, I insist, when you start speaking, you indicate you want to deal with interference. And we held back that part which is not interference. And even Honorable Kronenbaum said no, must be about interference. And once the presentation, we held back. Part of our presentation we haven't given yet to show the interference. You had said to us there must be no other cases that are hanging
Chairperson, point of order. No. It doesn't.
Are the rules clear?
No. I could have had an opportunity, you made the ruling now, to say you give the acting commissioner opportunity. Let him finish. And after that, we can come back. I don't think it's fair that there is interaction at this moment from IPA's side.
I will give ample opportunity to remember I said at the beginning we must deal with the core issues. Now in both presentations there's referral to other issues. That's not before us. So, I want to again make the call, let's deal with the issues at hand. I understand to both your presentation and to, inform the committee, but we'll give ample opportunity. Let's go to the presentation. Thank you.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. I just want the Honourable Members to be reminded that this is the first time that I had an opportunity to talk. People had come here, had been in the media, talking about me, and I decided I am not going to say anything. So I thought I am now presented with an opportunity to talk to all these things that I have said, and nothing of the things that I have said were not said by IPs. And I'm trying to respond to the interference in the relationship. I will, at this point, allow General Mawila to talk to some of those. And while he's talking, I don't understand, Chair, why we will be told that there is interference. Why each and every member of the service who is investigating Paul O'Sullivan is being investigated by IP. That part I don't understand.
I think once again, let us go back to the introduction this morning. We said, let's focus on the issue of interference. Of course, there's issues that have been raised about other matters that is before the court that's currently being investigated, referred to the NPA. Of course, we take note of that. But the core issue today is really to get a sense, in this specific high-profile case, is there any interference by SAPS? And we need SAPS' response, and we'll take it in from the General Mawila. You can go ahead. Thank you.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. Thanks, Honourable Members. My presentation, I think, is at the same page. I think page 17, according to me, but we'll just go on with that. But Honourable Chair, firstly, I just want to take it just to clear some of the air. I just want to correct Mr. McBride to say, he said the team of Northwest is investigating himself as well as Mrs. Botha. The answer is no, not at this stage. Number two, I also want to highlight this to the Honorable House to say it might be a wrong impression to say team from Northwest, all the team of Northwest, they are listed crimes of murder and sort of torture. I want to make clear the teams is comprised of five members, of which only one member, there was an allegation, he appeared before court, the case was struck off the roll. At this present moment, there is no. Personally, from the allegations 2006 up to date, personally, no one from IP approached me and actually explained to me, you are a suspect in this case. I just wanted to make that one clear. It's almost 11 years now. then I can start with my presentation. Honorable House, on the 21st of November 2017, myself as the Deputy Provincial Commissioner of Crime Detection in Northwest was summoned to the office of the Acting Divisional Commissioner Crime Intelligence for a briefing on the potential threat against the life of the Acting National Commissioner, Kimzenal Pashan. The briefing was pursuant to the threat assessment conducted by Security Intelligence Unit functioning within the Division Crime Intelligence. The briefing revealed that life of the Acting National Commissioner was in danger on the following reasons. On the 9th of November 2016, a Ford Kuga with registration number CK35XSGP tried to access a residential estate known as Sable Hills Waterfront Estate. through service delivery and sales by posing as official, police officials. The acting national commissioner resides in the same estate. This was stopped by estate security during the interview with the occupants of the vehicle. It was discovered that they were not police officials, but in fact, IPIC members. Upon requesting the purpose of their visit, they declined to provide any reason. They requested to meet with the estate manager and were escorted accordingly. The IPIC members interviewed the estate manager in the presence of the security manager and demanded copies of building plans which belongs to the acting national commissioner. At that stage, it was common cause that an investigation was being conducted against the acting national commissioner by IPIC. In order not to impede on the mandate of the IPIC, it was requested by myself that specific and clear terms of reference be drafted in order to commence with the investigation on the alleged threat. And the mandate of the investigations. Investigation mandate focused only on the threat against the life of the acting national commissioner of the South African Police Service. I think it will be demonstrated. Team members led by myself from Northwest. Progress report is being provided to the acting divisional commissioner. But also maybe I need to go back how this appointment came about. There was a communication between the acting divisional commissioner and my provincial commissioner of Northwest Province, where I believe there was a request. After the authority was given by the provincial commissioner of Northwest to say we can be assigned to the investigation, is then when terms of reference were drawn. I just wanted to make it clear there to say how these things was, how it started. We went to Sable Hill. We went to Sable Hill, and this will be the synopsis of obtained, of statements obtained. But because this matter is before court, Honorable House members and chair, names of the witnesses will be held as the matter is sub judice. First witness, without mentioning the name, he did dispose an affidavit under oath that from all members, all alleged to be IPICs, only one produced a business card of IPICs, not an appointment. We have that on record. One introduced himself as Paul, and another female identified herself as an attorney. No names were given by them to the witness. They demanded the building plans of the acting national commissioner and all documents relevant to the construction of the house. No search and seizure warrant was produced, allowing them access to such documents. Instead, the witness was threatened with imprisonment if he failed to hand over such documents. File was retrieved, both by Mr. Paul and Manda from the IPIC, and the pictures were taken of the building plans. A statement was drafted for the same witness by Mr. Paul, which was only signed by him after requested several amendments. So in other words, this statement was drafted, and then somewhere there was a correspondence where there's interaction between the witness as Mr. Paul O'Sullivan, where there were some amendments on his own statement. That was what we got from the first witness. The second witness informed an affidavit under oath that he met with the person driving the white Ford Kuga, the research number as already mentioned, at the main gate. He escorted them to the office of witness number one, who was interviewed in his presence. He was then requested to take them to the house of acting national commissioner, and was also questioned about the security personnel that falls actually definitely in our mandate, who were responsible position of the acting national commissioner. Paul questioned the witness about the following security details on the acting national commissioner. It's what Paul asked us in the same thing. The first question he wanted to know, how many protectors are deployed at the house of the acting national commissioner? Whether the protectors are static or mobile? What firearms are they carrying? And how many vehicles are they utilizing? Those were the questions by Mr. Paul O'Sullivan, accompanied by members of IPs on that day. Witness number five. Oh, sorry, witness number three. So I would. Witness number three deposited an affidavit under oath that he stopped a white Ford Puga at the service valley entrance and was informed by the driver, Bing Mandla, that were from SAPS and demanded entry to an estate. Maybe I need also to clear this point. This vehicle that we are referring to, it belongs to Mr. O'Sullivan. And this vehicle that we are referring to is not driven by Mr. O'Sullivan, is driven by Mr. Manda, who is actually executing the so-called official duties. I just wanted to make it clear. After communicating with the main control room, he directs them to the main entrance. Witness number four, he deposed an affidavit under oath confirming that the registration number CK35SUS was a Ford Puga, white in color, belonging to Mr. O'Sullivan. What we did, we tested the vehicle to check the ownership, just to confirm that indeed this vehicle belongs to. There's also an ID number to confirm of Mr. O'Sullivan, which is 5508265700085, residing at 7 Janine Road, Sundown, Johannesburg. Witness number five. He deposed an affidavit under oath that Mr. O'Sullivan has a registered firearm on his name, which was CZ9. 9mm short pistol with serial number 5677. Witness number
two. No, sorry, General, I didn't want to interrupt you, but remember the question before the committee is, I mean, I think you gave a response to say there was no interference by Northwest Unit in terms of count investigation. That is really the question. I mean, you are referring now to witness statements indicating certain conduct by other members. I just want to know where you're going in terms of the time. Thank you.
Honourable Chair, I was just checking. I wanted maybe to highlight the information to the House to make judgment as to whether, in line of our investigation, is there any element of interference regarding the allegation leveled against the acting national commissioner. This is what I'm trying to say, Honourable Chair.
Thanks, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. I think that's very important because it is alleged that there is an interference with an investigation. Here, you are being told, one, this investigation flows from a security threat assessment. That security threat assessment was conducted following the incident where I was attacked in Johannesburg. And I'm glad that I'm still alive because at least I can relay this query. There is a link between that particular incident and the threat assessment that continue to be done, and to say what is it that must be done to respond to that particular issue. There are people who came and volunteered information and said, this is the plot. And that's why that investigation was sanctioned. So I thought it is important to contextualize it from in answering that question, why this investigation? Because it is not at all an interference check.
But you can go ahead, but just keep it concise,
time. I'll run quickly another check. Witness number six, he deposed affidavit under oath that he was contacted by witness one and was informed that people from IPED were at their offices to demand the building plans and other documents of the house of the acting national commissioner. He inquired if the IPED members were in possession of a valid search warrant or other valid documents allowing them to power to seize the aforesaid items, and was informed the witness that they did not produce the same. witness one informed him that the threat of the arrest and he advised witness against handing over the documents without a proper search warrant. Witness 9, with he deposed of an affidavit under oath as well, where he indicated he was threatened, okay, IPED members, he was threatened and he... Okay. Honorable Chair, I'll go quickly to the emails because more or less it's a repetition what the witness actually would say. I just want to say, during our investigation, there were almost more than 49, or not less than 49 emails, correspondence that were sent to the acting national commissioner. But those emails were sent from Mr. Paul O'Sullivan. We only extracted few, I think 5 of them. I'm quickly going to run through those emails, just also to indicate the threat that faces the acting national commissioner. Can I go to, maybe I must honor the members for them to be on page, I think it's page 27, honorable members. Page 7, it says, but the other page is not. Extract of emails. On the 12th of February 2016, I received an email from Paul O'Sullivan, which email is attached here to. I'll read the contents of the emails. O'Sullivan states, "Dear acting commissioner of police, this mail is between you and me. No one else knows that I sent this, of course. If you share this with any else, I will share this with everyone we can think of. You will fix Mono and Crusher and I will lose interest in you. If you don't, I'll be all over you like a bed-fitting suit. If you try any dirty tricks, as your predecessor did, I'll eat you for breakfast and still be happy or be hungry afterwards. I mean that paternally, so don't think you are above the law. If I don't see positive action by you before 2016-02-22, I will start a process aimed solely on bringing you to book and will leave Mono alone." That was email that was received from Mr. Paul O'Sullivan. We have that on record. This is going to be utilized for court purposes. The second one, also been stated, "Mono, you are protected crook, firstly by Pierre, now it seems Patani. Patani, if you fail to turn the tide on Mono and Treasure, I will open a docket against you for defeating. If I take Mono down before you, I will be calling for your dismissal and imprisonment." I'm not going to say the current situation now. The other one from Mr. Paul O'Sullivan, this one, he stated, "This one is between you and me and Patan. You know you are corrupt. Soon the whole world will know. I'm going to enjoy putting you away, and when I'm done with you, I'm going after your wife." The other one, O'Sullivan stated, "You will not pull it off. You will fail, because I'll make sure you fail. If one of your dirty cops comes anywhere near my witness, there will be a bloodshed, and it won't be the witness. I have set the detail up to 4 men with automatic rifles, and if I can prove you are behind it, things will get bad, really bad, for you. Or if anything happens to the witness, I will hold both you and Patani personally responsible." I can further okay, maybe one of the arrests, I'm not sure whether should I
I think Chen, we can just allow Tenable to just run a summary in conclusion.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, honorable members. I'm gonna skip some of the slides just so that we can because of time. I would like you to go to slide 33. Page 33. On the 13th of February 2017, during the arrest of Mr. Paul O'Sullivan, a Nokia handset was found to be in his possession. It was seized and later taken to the technical support unit. The inf- information on that handset was downloaded, and a report was generated from the from our forensic expert. So I'm not going to go through all the contents of the SMSs. There's some, there's really a lot. I'm going to direct your attention to page number 37. This is where it will start, and as I go through the pages, it will start making sense. But this is an extract of SMSs between Paul O'Sullivan and the ex-Major General Sevilla. And if you look at the top headings, it's the folder, which is saying inbox, from the where it came from, the cell phone number, the exact date and time, all time stamps, SMS C, status is red, and then the message itself. So on the first message, it says, phone Colonel Exchange. She seems to know who sent them for the device. Something to do with Sirius and Moon. On the next SMS, good day, General. I'm not sure how. I heard that even if you delete it, it still remains there. Now they are investigating why McBride came here and how did he know about the box. The next SMS, let them go and ask him. And immediately after that, the last SMS, which is number 7. Apparently they say he's arrogant. Hence, so far they have not called him. Now, it will be interesting to note that these SMSs, the timestamp on these SMSs is 2015-05-02-11 and 2015-02-12. That's when those SMSs were sent. So I'm going to skip there and take you directly to where an SMS was received, and this box that we talk about is actually the Data 6 line of Prime Intelligence. Now the Data 6 is the encrypted fax line where all top secret communication is shared. And this SMS was recovered from Paul's cell phone. So if you go to number 8, good morning sir, we might encounter a problem with the handing over. The lieutenant in possession of the safe keys state that he will only provide access upon receiving a written letter which authorizes him to do handing over. He says he does not want to be charged for contravening the missed document. And I suggest that Mr. McBride draft a letter requesting for the device and state it is the subject of investigation. And further, he must advise that what time he will be arriving so I can ask the lieutenant who is stationed at Germiston to come through. And this message came from her. And again, if you look at the timestamp, it's 2015-02-11. From there, I'm going to take you to the next page 41. And these are extracts of SMSs from between Paul O'Sullivan and Mr. Robert McBride. And again, it's 2015-02-11. Okay, we'll do that. Who should we address it to? Thanks. Hi there, we'll be there in half an hour. Half an hour. I need Pearl's surname for the letter. I need her to arrange parking for me and give the registration of her vehicle. It goes on. Number 6 of the SMSs, also still in 2015. Hi there, I will only be free at around 2000 hours. I will be in Sunny Hill 4-way area. I don't mind working late. Or we could reschedule, let me know. And this is an incoming SMS from Mr. McBride to Paul O'Sullivan. The next one, from him again. Thank, that's okay, 7 years, 4 ways is good. See you at around 2000. We'll finalize venue 15 minutes before. Thanks. The next SMS, it links to what General Maslani was saying to the Honorable House about ex Ox members. It's from Mr. McBride. It says, hi there. Can you get me Sherbet? Can you get Sherbet to make contact with me? We do have messages from General Sevilla, Sherbet Sevilla, which we didn't go in detail on. The SMSs go on, and on page 43.
I'm sorry to interrupt the gentleman. I'm just worried about using the word 43. Can I just clarify for my benefits and for the House, which allegation from IPED is this mountain?
ton of details we need to be responding to. I just want to get that on track in my mind, so in linking the dots, I can make sure that things are aligned. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable General. Yes?
Chair, thank you and thanks, Honourable Member. It links to the independence of the IP. Chair, Honourable indicated that IP is independent and it's not supposed to be interfered with, which we agree. Mr. Robert McBride also alluded to the same. So that is just to prove the point, which I said, IFIT is not independent, it should be called OPIT.
Right, let's
well, I'm almost finished, Chair.
Thank you. Sorry, Chair, just, okay. So thank you to the Acting Commissioner for the response. This is part of the difficulty I'm having so far with the service portion of the presentation, because we're hearing counter-allegations. We're not hearing responses to the allegations from IPID. That's my difficulty, that's my confusion. As you said, Chair, we note the Acting Commissioner's statements and position around his stance on whether IPID is independent or not. But that's not the core item on the agenda. We're responding to the allegations from IPID of investigation into their investigations into him, whether or not he believes in independence. So I'm happy to give the leeway for the for background and given context, but I'm feeling like we're really going off the tangent.
Yeah, let's continue, but please no, we'll give members ample opportunity to interrogate that. I mean, that is the purpose of the meeting. We'll give members an opportunity. I mean, the point that's mainly made by the Acting Commissioner and his team is the independence issue. So, of course, that's their right to make it, but of course, we will have the opportunity to interrogate that. Okay. Yes, Honourable Shogun?
Yes. No, Chair, with your respect, my only problem here will be twofold. I think, first of all, I understand the motion is running high in this because of allegation, nature of allegations involved, and how personal they inflict on one and how they get received. But then there are two things which I think this committee will have to focus at very closely and try by all means to provide leadership on, Chairperson. One is that we are not an arm of judiciary which has got capacity to test admissibility of any evidence that is brought before us. We depend on that arm of the state, which is judiciary, to actually then subject this and also take into account the validity of the background to it and also match it with the reality in terms of the Criminal Procedure Act, and then subject it and then find conclusive evidence as to the authenticity of these things. Because here, again, also myself create and generate whatever information in the process of political mudslinging that can be done, which I think with us as the committee, we have to then speak about this and try by all means to say, what is it that can be done? I, on my own, I would suggest that we need not then to venture into all these details because we are not going to have capacity to test the admissibility of that particular evidence. It's an evidence that will need the judiciary to actually test it. It will then be the question then which I think in our last meeting, Chairperson, the very same IPID presented to the court finding, which then said, Parliament will have to ensure that the independence of IPID is complied with one, two, I think there are about three findings that were made by the court, to ensure that IPID as an organ of state, when it executes its task, one, two, three will have to be complied with by whatever, whether from within organs of the state and all that. So I will then suggest, Chairperson, that if then there is any kind of open interference, let us say, well, fine, there is an interference, then there is no interference. Let's say then there is no interference, and then allow then the matter to be taken into that judiciary in order to be able to deal with it, then a prima facie political decision will have to be taken by us here. If anybody, if there is any disruptive work by any organ of the of these two bodies, so that we can then avoid setting these organs against one another. I can see the reason why acting commissioner will actually then his blood will boil. I can see why also the executive director of IPIS, his blood will boil. There are quite a number of allegations that were given to this committee. The clashes between Hobbs and Logan, and the latest incident that happened in O.R. Tambo, and all these things. All these things
need a lot of
organ and great areas which need this committee chairperson to look at and be able then to provide a clear way forward. Thank you, chairperson. That was my concern.
No, I appreciate that. I see a ring of hands. Can we just ask SAPS to finish, and I will give ample opportunity to honourable members. Ample opportunity. Yes, Honourable Robert Kane and Honourable Funnewald. Yes. 1 minute each, please.
No, Chair. Mine was simply to say that instead of us now entering the debate, we should allow the conclusion of the presentation. Then we need to have some question and discussion. We will be able to, based on what our agenda of the meeting is, we'll be able to make up our mind what forms part of that and what does not form part of that.
Second that, Honourable.
In 1 minute, yes. And I'm a strong supporter of the Audi Alterum Partum rule. Let's hear the other side. I could have many occasions when they appeared in front of the committee putting their side, the first side from SAP side. So let's give them a fair chance. Let they present what they want to present. Thank you.
I'm going to take a defensive view because we are treading on very dangerous ground. If there is allegations about the independence of IPED or about the fitness and propriety of the executive director, it will eventually have to come to this committee. Then there will have to be hearings. Now, the IPED have come here this morning to give us allegations of interference in high-level investigations, quite a number of them listed in detail. The Acting National Police Commissioner and his team is treading, as I've said, on very dangerous ground by turning this into a witch trial about the independence or not of IPED. I've yet to hear a single response to any one of these bullet points that were raised. And I would caution that we do not continue a discussion about the independence, alleged or not, of IPED, because it is already the subject of a letter that we've received from the police minister asking us to inquire into the fitness and propriety of the executive director. And it will be the subject of amendments to the bill as required by the Constitutional Court. And I do not think that the purpose of this portfolio committee at this meeting today, or what I do not think this is the appropriate time for us to be venturing in that direction. I also already think that the National Police Commission has made a very dangerous statement today, but I will deal with that in the comments later.
Right, thank you, members. I'm going to ask SAPS to complete the presentation that we can go to questions and raise those issues. Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm just going to conclude with two SMSs that I would like to read out to you. This was received on the 2016-11-20, and it was from Mr. McBride. And he provides a cell phone number, and he says, needs ownership on this number, ASAP, make threats to my investigators. And the response to Mr. McBride on the 20th, just at 0354, there are 19 Mukhales in SA. He also sent the same SMS to me, then switched off the phone. It's a reason why the J175 must be done tomorrow. Pashlan is behind this, and he got Manda's details from Fritz Terbulanch. So J175 is a summons that you issue when you want to have take a person to court. So here, this SMS is coming from Mr. Paul O'Sullivan concerning J175 to Mr. McBride. And he's supposedly the complainant in this matter. The very dangerous SMS is on page 45 with regards to interference. It's a message from Sarah Jane Chen to Mr. McBride on 2016-12-31. and it reads, "I received from Robert. Do you know any computer forensic people who are available this time of the year? We need to download SAP's computers quickly. SAPs are going to court on the 5th to get their computers back." And the response to Sarah Jane from Mr. Paul O'Sullivan was, "They should call Danny Mayberg. If you cannot do it, you should be able to refer them." The last SMS on the same page, number 30, also received from Sarah Jane Chen. Now, Sarah Jane Chen is one of the suspects that we've arrested. It reads, 2017-01-07, "Hi, Robert not getting back to me. Have a feeling he's keeping his distance. He said, assume everything is intercepted." And the response to that SMS from Mr. Paul O'Sullivan to Sarah Jane, "They cannot intercept Skype." So with that, I would like to conclude. Chairperson.
That's the presentation. Thank you very much.
So, Chair, in terms of the conclusion to that, there is slide number 51. For record purposes, Chair, General Mabula is the lead investigator in the Kettle Manor case, appointed by IP, not by us. There can be an issue why someone from the Northwest is investigating a case in Pretoria. IP employed his services together with some of our experts, including Kettle Mangena, to do an investigation there. The same team that is investigating the acting national commissioner is comprised of people coming from KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng. What's the issue? Colonel Mangena, who is a ballistic expert, has been issued with a warning statement by IPIT for his testimony as an expert in that case of Katomena. We know what the intentions are. Warrant Officer Gota, who is here, continue to receive from a Mr. Rapesu, who is an investigating officer in IP, demanding case dockets from him, which case docket implicates Mr. Paul O'Sullivan. If that is not interference, I don't know, Chair. Brigadier Ngube was taking a statement, a warning statement of both let me not give them a rank, Mr. Matango and Minan. The IP head rocked up there, intimidated them. That's why we have got the case. IP investigators went to members in Johannesburg, demanding from them to implicate General Mabula. And that member has opened the case against the IP. So, Chair, in conclusion, we do not have the appetite to interfere in any investigation. I have given my all in as far as cooperation is concerned in the investigation, and it is within my rights, if I feel that my rights are violated, to institute civil litigation. That is in process. So it can't be an issue that is prohibited in terms of the act. It is not my problem if I could spend 900,000. Had they done everything legally and within the spirit of the law, that would not have been an issue. And I must place it on record. They are still going to be paid more because of the serious injustice that is being done in this regard. Thank you, Chair.
Right, thank you very much, members. That's the presentation. There's three outside, but we're going to continue. Our time is limited. We will give ample opportunity to Mr. McBride to respond to the issues, but let's also get a round of questions underway, and then you can come in with those responses and also the SAPs. In essence, the presentations this morning that I've heard, there was the allegation of interference, and then there was the counter. Let's say there was the rebut to say, well, the independence is a big issue. So that is really an issue, and there was also indication by the Northwest the one hand, we've got two institutions working the peace and stability units. That is the subject of this hearing. Now, my question to the executive director is, did you take up these issues with the executive authority? And what is the feedback at this stage with regard to the matter? Then my question to General Pahlane is general. You are the subject of my IPED investigation. Wouldn't that have been more appropriate maybe to totally withdraw from involvement in the investigation and also giving directions since even because you are the acting national commissioner? So I just want to know, wouldn't that have been appropriate for yourself not to be involved in the matter as such until it's fully investigated? Right, let's go to Honourable Bansi.
Chairperson, thanks. I'm just very concerned. The first question to the acting national commission, why was the unit, the so-called Northwest unit, established, that is led by General Mabula, why was it established? My second one is just a straight one to say, have you ever interfered in the investigations of IPED? My question to IPED is, who is O'Sullivan? What type of work is he doing? Is he a South African citizen? My second one to IPED is, did you ever work with him in this investigation at any stage? That's it. That's enough for this round.
Thank you, Honourable Mula.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for your whole presentation. My first question I want to ask the acting national commissioner, because last time when you heard they say witness killed and others are arrested, who are those witnesses that are killed and arrested? My second question is, who is this Paul O'Sullivan? And I want to know, is the IPED Act allow them to work with a private investigator or what? My third question is for General Mabula. General Mabula, who sent you to investigate the IPED? Because now it seems as if you are interfering. You are appointed by General Pahlane. We want to know, can you please tell us the truth here? Because we don't want to hear rumors and what. And in investigating the IPED, what is it that you want to gain? Because the IPED is investigating General Pahlane. So I want to know, who appointed you to investigate IPED? Is it General Pahlane or who? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Mula. Honourable Bija.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to understand from IPED, who does Paul O'Sullivan serve? And again, on which interest is he so clinging to IPED? And again, IPED McBride, why are you so much connected to Paul O'Sullivan when you are independent? You claim to be independent, but investigation bounces back to Paul O'Sullivan, and Paul is a private investigator. Then are you investigating things, this issue on your own, or you are investigating this issue based on the strength from the private investigator when you are claiming to be independent? ended, because it's ITs, the strike, all 7, all those things. I'm missing the point to understand your modus operandi there. And again, if I'm going out of an understanding of this thing, the chairperson will stop me. But I should think I have the right to be clarified so that I'm able to understand the whole process of this meeting. Because my bride seated where you are, there's still a cloud hanging over your head about Dramat issue. And now you are investigating...
The Honourable Leader, we shouldn't become personal, please just let deal with that.
Thank you. I withdraw that one.
It's Honourable Leader.
No, that is a person, not a person. I was saying, in us dealing with the security forces of Ireland, I think we need to be as much objective and very, very focused and very sensitive as well. My only concern, General, I'll be very frank here. You know, before my question, Chairperson, I think we carry the aspirations of the people of South Africa, who overwhelmingly said, based on the historical past, in every appointment of the head of our men and women in blue, not coming from the ranks of police, it would be better that an appointment is made from within the ranks. And at least we saw some kind of a as members were gaining confidence and all that, being led by one of them in the name of the acting commissioner. And I personally also, being black also, and the evolving democracy that seeks to affirm black people after a long period of being subjected to unfair treatment in the country. So I'm very, 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 very sympathetic to the cause, and I understand that what is the meaning of that to me and the rest of the people as well, who are still even victims of crime even today. Now, but my only concern, General Commissioner, is when the head of the house is under attack, why don't we see you have got your deputy head, and even the leader of the detectives from the central command in the headquarters of police. Instead, we get provincial command in the name of the general who made the presentation. And looking at the power relations that exist between the acting commissioner and the, then you get this kind of skepticism to say, what is it that is really happening here? Why don't you, because once the head represents the center, once there is an attack to the head, the entire house needs to be up in arms to say, we stand by our own. Now, I don't see that. I'm sure that you will help each other to actually then answer that, what makes that not being the case? I was expecting the deputy commissioner here to say, indeed, in our police management, this is then committed the validity of these things. Then, it won't be much of a question, Jefferson, because I don't want to get into the credibility of Sullivan and all that in the line of investigation and all that. I've got my own reservations about him, because I know, as I said, even in that previous meeting, about the times, you know, about that man who died and all these things. I know, we're talking the times of the scorpions. I know really what happened. But in the line of investigation, are the witnesses all angels, or they are those who are broken, and all that? I don't know, those are just technicalities of investigation, which I think we need to be sensitive to as well. That is why, then, Chairperson, I was raising the point that says, as the committee, because we have got also our people who must have, whose confidence to our men and women in blue must never be tempted by this. Get a particular process which I think we will be able to come to that conclusion. But at the moment, I will just rest my case to say the question of interference, what more better work method will have to be applied by the committee to ensure that none of the formations, following your question, Chairperson, to say, would it not be better for the acting commissioner to step aside and allow other seniors to actually then take the matter forward? Because it doesn't affect him, it affects the country, it affects all of us. It affects even the lines of the operational capability of our police in the country. I would like to stop there for a while, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mushungu. Honorable Lubo.
Thank you, Jay. Jay, no, I think, as far as I'm concerned, for me, it's about what is fair. We must have a balanced view on this issue. And in the end, we must ask ourselves what is in the best interest of the police services and what is in the best interest of South Africa. Having said that, Chairperson, Mr. McBride did everything he could, even went to the Constitutional Court to protect his rights. So I think it's just fair if you say that the acting commissioner also has the right, even though to the highest courts, to protect his rights. It's just fair. Secondly, Chairperson, the allegation from IPED is that there's interference from the side of SAPS, from the commissioner. And interference in their independency. From SAPS side, they say, but sorry, there is no independent investigation because they have actually proved that the so-called person O'Sullivan is actually part and parcel of the investigation, having access to highly classified secret documents, which is a total breach of security, which is not permissible. And that is what we have to deal with. If we go into all the fine details, I think that is for the case to come. And I think, from such side, of course they have the right thing to say, but listen, if we have a breach, a security breach, as far as documents are concerned, then surely we must investigate. From the side of IPED, if they say they want to do it independently, of course, they have the right to say, we want to do an investigation independently. But then, Chairperson, my question is, why from IPED's side, if we look at this matter, you see it spilled all over the media. If it is an independent investigation, why, for instance, on arrival at the house, the private house of the acting commissioner, you must see on television people who are not members of IPED? That's totally irregular. Why are they part and parcel of the investigation? I've also laid charges at IPED. They've asked me what the complaint is, but they never asked me to accompany them to investigate the matter. That is not permissible. Because the moment you do that, then you put your own independence in question. And I have a serious question to IPED. Why do we always see that O'Sullivan and associates are always busy with the investigation? the emails are important. It expresses a certain attitude. And I think we want a clear question on that. Because IFA cannot say they investigated it independently if they have O'Sullivan and all the people with them. That's my first question. My second one to IFA. Do we say that IFA investigators are above the law? Who inspects or who investigates IFA investigators? As far as I'm concerned, they're not above the law. My side to the sub-side chairperson, the acting commissioner said he's willing to give his cooperation for the investigation. Now my question is to the acting commissioner. Coming from an investigation from IPED, was the team that also started the investigation on this case, was it solely because of that, the fact that there's an investigation against the commissioner, acting commissioner? Or was it because of a security breach? I want to have clarity as far as that is concerned. And I don't want to get politically chairperson. I see some people get presidential protecting units protection if there's a security threat. So at least I think that the commissioner is entitled to protection if there is a threat. So those are the main matters. And my last question maybe I just want to ask. Is it possible to ask for IFA that please I don't want to read anything further about this case in the media until it's finalized in the court. Thank you.
No, thank you, Honorable Chair, and to the both the subs and the IPED presentation, but can I just say right at the beginning that the basket of issues which has been thrown in this discussion, which at the beginning of this discussion and at the preparing for the meeting was not intended for this discussion. So there is a whole lot of issues that now they are before the committee, and I must say that some of them we may not necessarily have a competency to deal with, because they will be dealt with in a different level. So, and if I don't comment on those issues, it's not necessarily the fact that I don't want, but I think some of them need a particular forum for discussion. But having said that, Chair, can I just say that I think my fear when this issue was raised at the beginning is confirmed. The fear that I had, what responses and what IPED was saying and what the police are presenting confirms my fear. My fear is this, that in the process of fighting crime, the focus does not necessarily focus in dealing with that, but it becomes inward. And you've been here before. You've been here before. It's a complete circle that you've been here. We are now here again. And the question is, if that happens, it probably poses the particular questions in terms of if you have that kind of the pose, the extremes, with that battle, when are we going to focus in the real time, the real work that we need to do? That's, for me, the problem I have. Now, coming to the question, if I narrow down the issues to the the allegation. The allegation is interference by SEBS on the investigation. And the response is, or the counter to that is saying, and I'm paraphrasing that General Kasani, and if I'm going to do a great job of this, and I can just feel of it. The response is, we don't recognize you, you don't exist, there is a capture, you've been captured, you don't work any longer for purpose in which you have been established to work as IPAT. You work for other forces, and that entitles us as the police to respond in a particular way. And the way we're going to respond to that, to our view and opinion, and having on that issue, can I just say that all of these organs are creatures of law. They establish based on the law, and that law has to be respected, that the law is in that governs. Otherwise, it's going to be a problem if we don't. So the response is, because we have a strong opinion about what we have in our box, in our toolbox. In our toolbox, what we have those SMSs that prove that there's been a communication between this and the other when that investigation happened. So we're going to therefore not recognize, and we're going to do the counter. And the counter is going to be, and there's something that worries me that I just need to say. There's a threat in the that runs through the presentation of the police. The police are saying, we are pursuing an investigation on the threat that we have received. Now, in the presentation to me, and correct me if I'm not, I see the presentation that links this threat with what is happening in IPAT. Basically, there's a line that says, this threat of a national commissioner's life, I think it's something to do with it. And the line is the people that are working there or that are in associate with IPAD in terms of interaction, there is a chain of communications that forms this narratives of the threat. Now, if that is the case, I ask myself the question, should there not be an investigation on the threat and action taken on a threat in terms of the law? Nip it in the bud to say, isolate it and say, this is where the problem is, and let's deal with that particular problem. Paul O'Sullivan, there's lots of being mentioned about him. Now, he can't run the security of the country. We can't run our security. I don't know whether he's South African or he's non-South African or he's got a dual membership of it, but he can't run it. The South African leader is the one that must run this institution. Now, I think IPAD would have to do some degree of explaining on the issue about IPAD. What is the role of IPAD in the investigation? Because if it's a complainant, it's a complainant, but it's not a running commentary, running involvement in it. But National Commissioner, I'm worried about this. Maybe don't you think that the counter-investigation could be construed as interference? If not, interference is also part of intimidation of those that are investigating this particular matter. Now, if it's so, would it not be a problem that, and then it becomes a matter that you are seen to be associated with. Because if the team is established by you to do this investigation and is characterized as an interference and intimidation, it can put you at the, rather the beginning, at the center of the problem. Don't you see that as a problem? It is a problem, but how do we deal with it? What does the, I mean, the witness of case of, you don't share witnesses. The witnesses of iPad, in their case, it becomes their witness on their case. So now I'm hearing almost like from them that their witnesses are also being interviewed. It's a counter interview between the witnesses of iPad. Their assessors also interviewing them at the same time. Now, obviously, that's a problem. Because you can't have one witness that has to begin to give a statement on this side and a statement on this side. It becomes a problem. What is SAP's business in the iPad businesses on this particular case? Why do we have to deal with that in that way? Now, if we say, and this is borrowing the words of the National Commissioner, there is no iPad, what is the authority, legal authority on that? Because obviously it can't just be that based on the exchange of communication, it's a conclusion of abolishing the existing structure. Because I said there must be some degree of remedy. Has that remedy been suggested to the authority? And I'm now asking directly. This perspective, obviously, the executing authority, who's got the responsibility in terms of the act, has this viewpoint of the non-existence of iPad being reported there, and what has been the action for that? Because the danger here is, if that is the perspective of the police, in general terms, and there's 200,000 of them, and they seem to be led from the top, it then means that it's going to be free for all right through down the ranks of. Because if you say this, the other, and the others will say, but the top people. So this is why I said my beginning, we have been here before. We now back there. So what is the best thing, and what's best in the interest of policing in the country? What is it? Is it the iPad red a problem? Isolate that as a problem. It is the one that brings, but let's not kill the institution. Because the institutions must be protected and must be strengthened. Because on which the purpose is a creature of law by the Constitution. On this part, if the problem is the National Commissioner, let's reference that as a problem. Because you must not allow yourself to poison the entire environment with the things that happen to the top. Because it can only happen, and the South African will have a second class in that process. So there is something that links to this, and I think Chair will have to come back at some time. It worries me, this link. There is this whole sovereign mono creature link. If you don't deal with it, if you don't deal with this, you deal with it. Almost checkmate. All of a sudden, he's saying, if the National Commissioner is not doing something about somebody, he's going to do something to him. Kind of a threat again. Now, what is this that must be dealt with? What was this thing that Paul O'Sullivan was also complaining about? We didn't hear that, but we heard messages that if you don't deal with this thing, you don't deal with it. Is it something that we need to be worried about? Or is it something that you are dealing with? I'm happy to hear the allegation that Paul O'Sullivan is also raising here. You are dealing with that, or this doesn't exist. It's just a hoax, it's just a matter of. So Chair, my thing is, I'm ending here. On on two questions. I'm summarizing myself. Should we not protect the institutions, both institutions? And I'm asking both the head. Should we pull this institution to a point where nobody recognizes them as an important institution? And then what happens to all the crimes that will happen to ordinary South Africans if this institution is being kicked out this way? And I'm leaving it there, Chair. I've asked those two questions, pertinent questions, but generally others is my fear and the feeling that I have. And I do think that this is a recommendation I want to make before, in anticipation that the answer will be negative or on the question of the execution authority, that I think this matter urgently, fairly urgently requires the attention of the execution authority if they don't have that for them. Because somehow it has to be stopped, because it's going completely in the wrong direction. That will be my suggestion in terms of the way forward. I can't go through all the number of things. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. So we've got the complete proposal from Honorable Ramaphosa that we invite the Minister of Police, the Honorable Fikile Mbalula, to this committee to respond to the issues. Yes, Honorable Bele.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will try to be quick because I can see that time is not on our side. Obviously, it's a very concerning situation that we have before us, and one that we can't afford in the police portfolio in light of the trends of rising violent crime and organized crime, and especially against the backdrop of the fatal hijacking outside Orotamba Airport yesterday. And I'd like to believe that our purpose of this particular hearing and this meeting is to get as close as possible to the truth. As Honourable Kilomo said, we aren't a court of law, we can't deliver any kind of verdict, but we'd like to get as close to the truth as possible in order to assist as best we can, and I think roping in the Minister will be one of the key actions. I would also like to say that it would be remiss not to note that I believe this situation was precipitated by the former minister, the former police minister, by his politically enabling the questioning of the integrity and the independence of IFIC. There is a very clear backdrop to this, and that is something that must not be forgotten. What I heard mostly from the SAP's presentation, unfortunately, Chair, was mostly counter-allegations against IFIC, not responses to the IFIC allegations. In fact, the only IFIC allegation that there was a head-on direct response to was the one about the what I'm going to call the Mabula team. That one we got an expansive and detailed and comprehensive setting the scene and context as to what that's about. So they didn't deny that allegation that it was an investigation by the Mabula team. But that seemed to have been just a classic bait and switch, Chairperson, because we were baited by a response to the Mabula team allegation and that investigation, and then it was switched on us to become about questions of the independence of the IFIT. And for that reason, it's been hard for me to process about where do these two testimonials converge, diverge, overlap, and just trying to do justice to the session. I think it is also worth noting that for the members who seem to have what I'm calling the O'Sullivan obsession, maybe let's arrange a lunch with them and then they can all ask them their questions, because this committee in this hearing can't answer those questions for them if they want to get that kind of detail and clarity on him. So, Chairperson, very quickly, my questions, I think the answers should be fairly short and straightforward.
Yeah, the honourable member is not right to say what he's saying about us who mentioned O'Sullivan's name. I don't think he's right. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah, Honourable Bija, I think we, yes, the microphone, sorry.
The honourable member is not fair to us who ask questions about Paul O'Sullivan. And this is the second time I'm asking him, what interest do you have with Paul O'Sullivan? Because you are so obsessed yourself and you are projecting it to us. And it is wrong. This must stop. We have the right to speak.
Honourable member, yes. No, I think the point has been made. I think let's appreciate that, but let's continue, because I'm just concerned that this venue is going to be used for one of the cleaner, mini cleaners this afternoon. So I don't want us to be caught by that session. Please go ahead. Thank you.
Chairperson, I take the points from the colleagues and will agree to disagree on that one. Now, my questions, Chair, I think the answers should be fairly short and straightforward. Firstly, to the Acting Commissioner, I'd like to ask him if the so-called counterintelligence units in the SAPS, its establishment was announced at a press conference you had in May last year, if I recall correctly, and I put in a parliamentary question just to get some details on that. The Minister's reply was quite generic and kind of there. But is this counterintelligence unit in any way involved in the allegations that we're hearing from the IFED? And if that's the case, why? So, for example, were they part of establishing the security threat, as we heard from General Mabula? My apologies. And then my question, which is to basically actually to both the ED and to the Acting Commissioner, because I'd like to hear how the responses square up. What is the nature of the team that is said to be led by General Mabula? Is it a task team? I'm part of the couple of the Honourable Mulebati who asked what is its purpose. But what is the nature of this team? Because we've heard that it's got its members, or some of its members, have had allegations against them dating back to 2006. So clearly it's a prior existing team. But I'm just trying to understand what this creature is, where it comes from, and how it then fits into this current picture. And then because General Mabula counseled the allegation from IPED that he is not a torturer, Acting Commissioner defended staff members saying that they are not torturers. Can I ask the IPED to then state for the House, how do you know that the General Mabula or members of his team are torturers? And also if they can respond to his assertion from General Mabula that no one from IPED has approached him about the allegations. My next question, Chair, is to the SAPS. Who are the suspects in the investigation by this Northwest team, by the Mabula team? Because my understanding is that their investigation is premised on a security threat assessment that is rooted in the facts of the 9 November visits. That was my interpretation of the presentation. And if that's the correct understanding that I have there, and then why is it that Mr. Maklangu and Mr. Binang are charged in that investigation when the occupants of the vehicle were not there? So just to draw the dots from the team investigation, the premise of it, individuals, and who the actual suspects are. If I've missed something, please do clarify me. And I should also point out from slide 17, I'm hoping it's a typo, but November only has 30 days, so there couldn't have been a 31st November when this meeting happened. To the Acting Commissioner, just to explain, please, what was the purpose or motive or rationale for the Section 205 application to access the dockets, given that you were the subject of the investigation? That would seem to be a clear conflict of interest. And as the Chair has suggested, the wise course of action would be to recuse rather than to step into that space. Just the reason for the Section 205 application. And also to the Acting Commissioner, on the matter of the letter that was sent to you from IFED in February, or they stamped May, but anyway, last year, you said that the letter does not detail specific allegations against you. But the fact is, or the question is rather, why then would IFED ask to meet with you if you were the subjects of the investigation, of the allegations? I mean, what would be the alternative explanation for them wanting to take up your valuable time if the investigation had nothing to do with you? And on that same line, I will then ask IFLIT, can they provide evidence of any follow-up attempts that they made to have a meeting with the acting commissioner, because she said that she's never been approached directly on this matter. And then, Chair, it's a trite question, but it is going to bug me for the remainder of the day if I don't ask it. I've heard the acting commissioner say that there is no more IFLIT, there is now OPLIT. What does the O stand for? I just want to know. Oh, thank you. Okay, I'm coming in. And then finally, Chair, I think I did ask this question at the last meeting when the ED made the allegations, but has IFLIT opened Section 33 charges against the members of the SAFs that they allege are interfering in their investigations? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Relevance. You're the last, then we'll go through the responses.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think this is an absolutely unprecedented and absurd situation that we're finding ourselves in. To have two constitutional organs of state, both tasked with incredibly important constitutional mandates, literally at one another's throat in a public forum like this. It is an absurd situation. It is shocking that we've got to this point. I don't know how to address it, and I may make some recommendations or put forward some thoughts as I go along. I have two questions that I want to raise first before I get there. I'm not going to comment or go into incredible detail about Paul O'Sullivan. I've made myself clear about, or my views clear on him in this committee before. I don't have a very high regard for the man. His reputation precedes him. But I want to know specifically, and I want to read here, it says that during the arrest of Paul O'Sullivan, a Nokia handset that was found to be in his possession was seized and later taken to the technical support unit. Information was downloaded from the handset and a report was generated by a forensic expert, and the result was the SMS that we had read here. Under what authority was that handset seized? Was there a warrant for it? Was there appropriate authorization to get the information? Because as far as I know, if I'm arrested and you take my cell phone, you must just put it somewhere in a box and keep it. There's no, you need additional authorization to extract information from that handset. I want to know whether that has happened. Because if it hasn't happened, is that evidence admissible in court? Or have we now been today subjected to, I can't even describe what was in those SMS and for what purpose, to come and portray this Machiavellian situation in the IFLIT and further undermine or create the counter-allegations of its independence or not, as I said. My second question, has any person in the lawful employ, I'm not talking about Paul O'Sullivan, has any person in the lawful employ of IFLIT involved in this investigation been investigated by the SAPs and or charged or arrested by the on whichever case or whatever, because those are some of the allegations that are made about interference. Now, on the interference issue itself, as I said, we got a list here, extensive bullets of what has allegedly taken place, people being instructed not to cooperate, people being moved out of positions, etc. What we did not hear, as I said before, that the SAPs are not interfering. I did not hear today from the Acting National Police Commission or any one of the delegations that SAPs are not interfering. But what I did hear is that a long list of reasons why they probably think it is acceptable or justifiable to do so, and why they believe they are entitled to do so, because according to SAPs, IFLIT does not exist, they're not recognized, and therefore they don't have to deal with them. And it's laughable for me as the National Police Commissioner for you to say you're willing to cooperate, but in the same breath, say to us that you don't recognize them, they don't exist. I do not think those are words of someone who said that they won't cooperate with an investigation. And I would like to remind you of your obligations under Section 2, specifically about the supremacy of the Constitution, and the duty that imposes on you to fulfill your obligations. And secondly, on the diligent performance of those duties in Section 237. I am astonished to hear from an acting National Police Commissioner who all SAPS members report eventually, and who all IFLIT cases can involve in some way, too. The things that I've heard today, and it is largely because this case has, unfortunately, from the beginning, been personalized. The best thing would have been for the Acting National Police Commissioner to recuse himself, And I agree with the comments and the questions about that. I actually don't think that it is proper, in terms of due process and the rule of law, for you to be anywhere near the stuff at this time, or involved in any area of it that can influence the outcome of this case. That is just basic public administrative principles and common sense. But as I said, this case has been personalized from the beginning, because we had IPA tell us there's an investigation, and then the absence of the National Police Commission comes with a delegation telling us to counter allegations or explaining it. And yes, Chairperson, this has been in the media, but I also think we have to take some responsibility for that. Because every time there is a discussion about this, we have a hearing like this. And it fuels the public debate, and I do think it's important for there to be transparency around it. I do not believe that there should be leaks. And Executive Director, those Section 2 and Section 237 obligations equally apply to you under the Constitution. So what I would like for us, Chairperson, is for the staff to give us a response, a written response, to every single one of these allegations of interference listed here. Not counter-allegations about independence or not, but did they instruct these people not to meet with them? Did they do this, did they do not? I would like to see that. And finally, I noticed in the Acting National Police Commissioner's indication that he's willing to cooperate, but I don't understand that the letter that we were given is dated, addressed to his office, March, but the response is May. I don't understand why there's a two-month gap if there was such a fervent desire to deal with this investigation and to fully cooperate. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Oh, Mula, I saw your hand, but I'm not going to take any more hands.
I forgot to ask. You remember last time when we were having a portfolio committee with the IPs, I asked the EP this question. But now it's proper to ask it because Mr. Mashamu is here. Is it true that when you went to General Patane's house, you were driving Polo Sullivan's car? Can you tell us the truth? Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry. How are your horses? Members, we've done with the questions. I think there's also a firm proposal from Honourable Redlinghuis that if there's any additional information or responses, the committee, of course, will receive that in writing. If there's any additional representations, we will, of course, look at that. So I'm going to ask now the Executive Director to deal with the issues. If there's other additional information I can provide in writing, and same for the Acting National Commissioner. Let's go to the ED. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I think firstly, to start with Honourable Redlinghuis's question about why there was a two-month delay. In the first instance, I think it's appropriate to mention that the people involved in the investigation initially, in February, March 2016, have all left and gone to SAPS. They've all gone. And as Sissoko said earlier, there's no real investigation that took place. In fact, there is, because of lack of resources, we can't continue. There's clearly attempts by the investigators then on IPED to derail the investigation. But that's for another day. We'll deal with that later. Much has been made by Dawood's intercepted SMSs and so on. And meetings with former Hawks members and so on. I must just say for the record, and something I haven't told anyone before until now, I met with General Patani while this investigation was going on. And the investigation was put together by a former Hawks person, Sevilla, in which General Patani attempted to ask me about the investigation against him, and I refused. He might want to comment about that. So just to give you an idea, you can't cast aspersions, you open the door about former Hawks members, and then you ask them to set up meetings with me. So, General Patani received a bravery award for a so-called attack on him, which took place in 2016. Different people who saw it on YouTube will come to different conclusions. But the issue here, there was no Mabula team.
Chairperson, no.
No.
We can't confirm this way. It's